to their seats? Will people please come to their seats?
No, track one.
Is that still the grand?
Will people please come to their seats?
Banging at me.
Cynthia, Paula.
She's rough.
Grab by the ear, Carol.
Okay, we're back in session. Treasurer's report.
Yay.
Well, you've heard from the general manager that unfortunately today we do not have a treasurer's report. So people are working on it. There will be news later on.
Okay, now we have the special of order of business, the approval of budget.
That's the other part of this. We do not have the budget. It is being worked on, and people will be notified soon.
Now, I think there was a motion. Was it Janice's motion or David's motion? Are we not on? Are we not on?
We're recording.
I just turned the butter mics off so it wasn't so noisy.
Okay. I thought it was David's motion. I see your hand, Janet, but
I just need a proposal. Yeah.
You have to use the microphone when you speak.
Without the chocolate.
I mean, my proposal was that we schedule a special meeting to discuss the budget. I understand there's probably certain requirements of noticing, a certain amount of time for noticing the meeting and that kind of thing, but that we schedule a realistic special meeting. It doesn't have to be a whole day to discuss the budget, and that we have prior to that meeting the budget in hand so that we can discuss it and read it prior to the meeting.
Okay. The notice is probably 7 days. Is that right, or is it more? Ryan, do you know?
It's 7 days.
7 days. Okay. So are you making a motion that we, once we get the budget, we post it and have a meeting within 7 days of that? Is that a motion?
Yes, but I have a prior question. Is that will the budget be produced in time to do that? In other words, I don't really have an idea of the time frame of the...
Obviously, I cannot predict this. I haven't been able to predict it so far.
Sorry.
So do you have a motion?
Well, since the... Yes, I do. What I just said is my motion.
Could you state it? Write it?
That in view of the fact that the budget is not ready for this meeting, and in view of the fact that the fiscal year ends on September 30th, am I correct?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And so the new fiscal year starts on October 1st, that sometime prior to October 1st, we schedule a special meeting of the local station board to consider the budget, and that we have the budget at least the day before so we can consider it and talk about it.
Do you want to set a date for that? And, you know, like Saturday the 27th or something like that, or the night of the 26th or midnight, you know, the 29th? Right. No, you just want to make a general motion. Okay. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay, that's the motion on the floor. Janet, Margie, Brian.
Well, given that the LSB is supposed to approve the budget before the NFC reviews and approves the budget for the whole PNB. I'd like to make an amendment to Dave's motion that we meet before the end of the month, that we meet specifically either on Saturday, this coming next Saturday at 11 a.m., or Wednesday, September 24th at 3 p.m. to review the budget and approve it or not, or let's say approve it.
Actually, I called Margie and Brian, but I'm going to call Brian and Margie since Brian is the chair of the Finance Committee, and then Margie. Brian? Well, okay, let's see where we are procedurally. Is there a second to the amendment?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Point of order.
Yes.
If the bylaws require 7 days' notice, to have a meeting next Saturday is impossible because we have not got 7 days. Notice we do not have a budget yet.
Okay. So that do you?
Just Wednesday, November. I'm sorry, September 24th at 3 p.m.
Do you have a place, Brian?
So there's two procedures for calling meetings. We can either set a date and time now, or the bylaws allow for the four officers of the boards, that would be Barbara, Carol, Ramses, and Craig, to call a meeting as long as all four of them agree, which I'm assuming that's what your motion is calling for to happen, right?
Right.
I would caution against scheduling a meeting until we have a budget in hand, because I have been promised a lot of deadlines and then had them blown regarding multiple stations, including KPFA, for financial documents. And it puts a lot of people out if we call a meeting that we can't then deliver on. I don't know what to say. It's a terrible situation we're in. But I think... the 7 days notice you can give once we actually receive a budget document also allows time for review in small work groups to find errors that management may want to correct before a final approval vote from the board. So I would stick with Dave's original language.
Okay. We're doing a procedural clearing here. So Janet, How do you respond to Brian's remarks, and since you're the maker of the amendment, which is now in place?
So first I have a question. You're saying that rather than this body set a meeting, you're saying that the officers of this board would call a meeting. And in both cases, 7 days notice would be required. Okay, that's one thing. Another thing is that it's my understanding from what Quincy said that the budget will be available on Tuesday to the LSB.
If and you had asked Quincy
wait,
last
may
night?
I finish?
Yeah.
And that Maria would be available for people to come and ask questions on Thursday. So I was assuming that will happen, but what I'm getting is that might not happen, and so September 24th is way more than 7 days ahead. Maybe we should just set aside that date. Anyway, if we wait until whenever the budget comes or whatever and then set a date, people might not be available or it might be too late. The 7 days notice might go past what we would want.
In June, we were assured we were going to have a budget in July, and we had set up a meeting that had been canceled in order to deal with the budget. We were told in July that we would have a budget in August. we were told in August we would have a budget in September. So clearly, there is an issue, and it is really not in anybody's hands but Maria's. And so, in fact, we do not know. I mean, we know that Quincy is attempting to manage this. So you want now what I'm understanding is you want your amendment to David's to stand as the motion that's under discussion. So that's what we're doing now. We're having a discussion on whether or not we today are setting a meeting without the budget in hand to consider the budget on the evening of Wednesday, on the afternoon, 3 p.m., Wednesday, September 24th. Okay, I have Margie Craig.
Okay.
Mark.
I'm sorry. So I don't think it makes any sense to schedule this meeting until we have the budget in hand. I agree with that. I don't know what's going to happen going forward, but I think that's an important consideration, and that there must be at least 7 days' notice of a meeting. I think what the motion should say is the board directs the officers to call a meeting with at least 7 days' notice to discuss the budget once board members have received the budget. That gives the intervening week gives people time to go to the station, we can ask Quincy to set up conversations so people can go and ask questions and look it over and make changes and so on. But that's what I think the motion should say. Let me say that Wednesday at 3 p.m. seems like a really difficult time. People have jobs. Even I have a job. I'm not being paid for it, but I go to work every day, and I'm in that office from 8:30 in the morning until 4 or 5 in the afternoon every single day. And then on Saturdays I come to meetings. Okay. Well, anyway, so the point is that 3 o'clock in the afternoon doesn't make sense. And to have a meeting midweek means that those members of this body, one of whom lives in Guerneville, two of whom live in Oregon, and two of whom live in Fresno, are virtually it places an enormous hardship on those people to come to a meeting. So I think it has to be on a weekend. It has to be 7 days' notice. And I want us to direct the officers to call that meeting. That's the motion I would like to see on the floor.
Mark?
I'll withdraw my amendment.
Okay. All right. It's withdrawn. So we're back to David, who's not here, but our understanding, and he didn't write it, is the sense of the motion is that he wants a meeting prior to the 30th deadline, if that's possible. And we would take that as a direction to the officers if this is voted on. How's that? Can we vote on that? We're having discussion? All right. We're
point of information?
No. I have questions. So David's motion is predicated on us having a budget in place by the beginning of the fiscal year. As far as I know, there's no requirement for us to have a budget in place by the beginning of the fiscal year. It's not good practice, but we can muddle forward without a budget in place. My question is what the timeline is, because my understanding is that the National Finance Committee approves budgets, and I want to know when they will be approving budgets for Pacifica stations, including KPFA. If it's prior to September 24th, then a meeting on September 24th is pointless, right? So what is the schedule here?
Finance Committee was scheduled to do a first review of KPFA's budget on Thursday, and obviously didn't get one. And now we're scheduled to do a first review of KPFA's budget on Tuesday. Luckily, we have other budgets to look at if we don't get KPFA's on time.
It must be the following Tuesday.
No.
No.
On this Tuesday?
Yeah.
Finance Committee can look at it.
They meet all the time.
Last Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, you said Thursday, and now it's going to be Tuesday. So it didn't make any sense.
I'm sorry. I'll try to make more sense. We're starting to schedule a blizzard of meetings to do budget review. When we get a budget that hasn't been reviewed by its LSB yet, we're basically looking for problems in the forecasts that management may want to fix before they take it to their LSB. We're looking to LSBs to set the, you know, the spending priorities in the budgets. We're kind of looking at whether the budgets are realistic or not. Where we are now, it's actually not plausible that the National Board, that we will have taken a budget for KPFA all the way up through approval by the National Board before the fiscal year starts.
Yes, I'm sorry. Is there a deadline by which KPFA needs to get the budget to the National Finance Committee for any kind of consideration?
Yes, that was July 15th, 2014.
Great. All right. So, David, I think you're writing out what we have. I see you, Jana. Did you have what you got? You want to read it, or can I read it, or... So we see what we're talking about right now. What we're talking about is, in view of the fact that the budget is not ready and the fiscal year ends September 30th, 2014, that the LSB meet sometime prior to September 30th in a special meeting. Do you want us to have a budget in hand when that happens, or do you want us to just have a meeting? When there's a budget in hand. Okay. Can we add this in here in a minute, Janet? Okay, in view of the fact that the budget is not ready in the fiscal year, and September 30th, 2014, that as soon as the LSB gets a budget, can we add that to your, receives the budget, that the officers of the LSB call a meeting within 7 days, with 7 days' notice before September 30th. No? Yes?
That's yes.
Okay.
The problem is, if there's no budget in hand, then, but that's why the statement that you made with budget in hand, I think, should be part of the
okay.
motion.
All right. So, well, could you pass that back to David, and he'll fix it up. Janet.
So, I guess this is to Brian. What would the and Barbara maybe? What would the ramifications be if the KPFA budget is not ready for the NFC to consider, and the PNB and all that, and not just actually KPFA, but overall, what are the ramifications for delaying or not having budget approved by the beginning of the fiscal year?
I'm not aware of any consequences that are in place. As Craig said, it's a really, really bad practice. I think because there are several stations that are late with their budgets, actually 4 out of 5 of them, we're going to have a conversation about recommending consequences to the Pacifica National Board. I think at a minimum, we're going to ask the board to approve a wage and hiring freeze at all stations that don't have approved budgets in place. And we may have to recommend something further regarding cuts, because our financial situation is so tenuous, we can't fly blind, right? The budget is the flight path. And because we have budgets in place right now, we know that we're basically operating in a break-even position. But we also know that health insurance at all of our stations goes up by 10 to 15% a year. For KPFA, that's a $50,000 increase in our costs, you know, without hiring a program director or anything else. So if we don't have an updated plan, we get ourselves into trouble really, really fast. But as of now, there are no consequences in place.
And of course, just to remind ourselves what a budget is, I mean, a budget is an important document for us, a guide, a plan, but it's not a contract. It's a vision. It's an expression. It's a monetary expression, a guide to where we're going and our hopes about what's happening. It is not a fixed contract. It is a, it's an expression of our sense of how the money should be spent and what the money is, et cetera. Craig, wait a minute. Let's see where we are here. Point of information.
Yeah, which is a question. Again, I'm just trying to get information so we can make a considered decision. And I'm following on what Janet's question was. Is there any consequence, or is it possible for the board to make a decision on a budget at its next board meeting, which I don't recall what
it's
is
not till October 18th.
Not okay, October 18th. So, well, let's say October 18th. Is it possible for the board to make that decision then, rather than in some special meeting prior to that?
I think that's a question for you, Brian.
So I guess there's two possibilities. I am not going to recommend, as chair of the National Finance Committee, that we wait on stations that are behind their timelines. So assuming we're in a position to do so, I will recommend that we forward a budget to the national board before then and entertain any proposed revisions that come from the late local boards after that point. I don't think we can wait to have some budget in place. It's possible we won't get around to approving any budgets by then. I mean, I can't tell you. I don't have a crystal ball. The financial planning at three of our other stations is much messier than here, even. But.
David.
I think that whatever the status of the other stations, our LSB is responsible for KPFA. And so I think we need to be as responsible as possible here.
Okay. Mal. Okay, the question is called. And we have the language of the motion, which is, in view of the fact that the budget was not ready and the fiscal year ends September 30th, that the LSB meet sometime prior to September 30th in a special meeting with budget in hand. Okay. And that's been moved and seconded. The question's been called. All those in favor of calling the question, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All those in favor of the motion itself, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays?
No.
Couple of noes. The motion carries. One abstention. Two abstentions. In any case,
I think we
maybe
have,
we should raise the hands.
Okay, you can raise the hands. Sorry.
Okay, all of those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. And let's get a count. Six yes. Noes. Three noes. Abstentions.
It fails.
No.
I'm voting yes.
It doesn't. Unfortunately, the number of abstentions doesn't change the outcome.
Okay. So the final count is seven yes, three no, six abstentions. So it passes. Point of information.
I'm just curious what the objection is from our Fresno members.
You need to use the microphones.
Pretty much hard for us to be here, especially with, you know, floating dates and hard, you know, short notice and so on. So that's why I abstained.
Could you make a Saturday?
Maybe not. Depends on the date. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We take that into consideration, and let me say this. If, and have you all understand this, and you can all raise hell with me right now on the record if you disagree. If we are not going to make, if it's not possible to do such a thing prior to September 30th, I feel like we should just wait till October 15th, 18th, since the there are no direct ramifications. We still have time to say what our budget is, and then we can send the information on to the board afterwards. That's my the PNB, the Financial Committee of the PNB. That's my sense of where we're going. Yes. You've got to use a microphone.
So wait a minute. I thought that Dave's motion passed.
It did. Okay, so that so it says that we should have a meeting prior to right. September 30th right. So with a budget in hand. Right. And it has to be one with 7 days notice for it to be a valuable meeting. So all I'm saying is that my reading, my understanding of that motion passing is that if we don't have a budget in hand, prior to 7 days, prior to the 30th, I'm going to let it roll. That's going to be what I'm going to do on the board until October 18th. Okay. The 18th, because it's the third Saturday in October, because the second Saturday is a holiday weekend. Okay. All right. We are now on the PNB report. And Margie, okay.
Oh, I have nothing but bad news. No. I'll start just with the situation in the PNB office. We have a small but incredibly dedicated staff that's working very hard at getting ready for the audit, and also trying to piece together what has happened in the past. As a result of that, Raul recently discovered the fact, let's see, let me back up. Pacifica has a pension plan. It's a plan that has been in existence since 1997. It has no required employee contribution, but in all of our union contracts and historically, Pacifica has contributed 2% of annual salaries to the pension plan. And this was not, money was accrued. That doesn't mean there was actual money, but the expense was accrued in 2012, but the money was never forwarded to the pension program. It was not, as far as we can tell, it wasn't in anybody's budgets for 2013. So there was no accrual and there was no attempt to collect the money from the stations. This historically, the stations pay this amount and it gets forwarded to the pension plan. So at this point, the station managers have all been notified that they have to come up with the money for 2012 and for 2013, and for 2014. The 2014 money must be deposited by June of 2015. That's the deposit date. Every employee who is has worked for Pacifica for more than 1 year and is scheduled to work at least 1,000 hours in the calendar year is entitled to benefit from this plan, which means Pacifica has to put money into the plan for them. The plan is managed by a local investment firm that specializes in socially responsible investments, and I can provide you all with that information. I just don't have it right now. And So at this point, we need to put money in the pension plan and include interest, which is a relatively low rate of interest, for the period of time that it hasn't been there. And that will be to the benefit of each of the employees so affected. It's extremely unfortunate this happened. It makes it very difficult for the stations to budget. Suddenly the stations are forced to budget. For example, the expense at KPFA is about $22,000 for 2012. And while we're still figuring out what the cost would be for 2013, it'll be approximately the same, I think. Anyway, it's an extremely difficult situation and one that we would have wished to avoid. But that's the situation going forward. Under the law and under our union contracts, we are required to make these contributions. And the contributions cannot be made just to union covered employees because of the law, which requires that we treat in terms of retirement, all employees are treated the same, which is the same reason that people like me who are clerical workers at UC have a great retirement program, because they set up the retirement program for the faculty, and then the government passed a law saying you have to treat everybody the same. So those of us who are clericals cashed in on the faculty retirement program. Okay, that was just an aside. Okay, the other thing I wanted to tell you about was elections. The election committee is struggling very hard to make elections happen. Again, there's no money. And money which was budgeted for this year, that is the year that's about to end, has been spent on other things in every single instance. And while elections are in the budget for next year, we're not at all certain that that's gonna, you know, that it's realistic. On the other hand, We have posted a listing for a national election supervisor, and that posting closes on Monday. And we have a few applications, which I will look at. And we also, the elections committee is also considering using some kind of a service, not necessarily hiring a national election supervisor. Anyway, there are lots of things out there that have to be talked about. The National Board passed a resolution directing me to hire a national election supervisor and to get on with the elections. Unfortunately, that motion didn't include how we're going to pay for it. So these are all realities that we have to deal with. There are many other things going on at the national level, but I would say that these are the important ones. I want to thank Raul Salvador and the financial staff in the office for just doing an awesome job of keeping track of what sort of got lost in the shuffle. Almost every day we get either a letter saying if you don't pay this bill, we're going to send it to collection, or we're going to tell our lawyers to get you, or or a statement saying you owe us this much money. And we cannot locate, in many instances, the paperwork that goes with those things. You would think that there would be invoices. You would think that there would be correspondence. You would think that there would be something prior to, you know, something tangible prior to the threat of going to a collection agency or going to court. And we can't locate them. I spend time almost every single day asking vendors to provide us with invoices and statements of accounts so we can figure out what's going on. Anyway, that being the case, I just have to say that the financial staff is doing a terrific job and working very hard and many more hours than we pay them for, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate them. And the same is true for the clerical staff in the office. So we're all working really hard. I think I announced previously that Raul Salvador, the CFO, has taken a voluntary cut in pay because he recognizes the severity of our financial situation. And that is in place for the next 6 months. He's taken a 10% cut in pay. And of course, you don't pay me anything, so you're all very lucky about that. That's, you know, in terms of what's going on at the PMB, we recently approved a loan. Yeah? Am I going on too long?
No. Actually, no.
I turned those off while she's talking. Go ahead.
Let her give the report.
Yeah. What you just reported up to this point is really an IED report. It's not a PNB report, so it's good to kind of.
Good Lord, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm drowning. I'm drowning in details over here, and I love to share them. Okay.
But you are chair of the PNB, but you're also IED. So.
Okay. So, you know, the PMB isn't doing all that much. The PMB did approve at our last meeting a no-interest loan to cover another very serious situation created for us by the previous administration. And I hope that, you know, the PMB will do more in the future. We had a closed-door meeting with one of our attorneys, took up half the meeting, and the other half of the meeting, I think all what we accomplished was approving this loan. I invite you all to listen to PMB meetings for a good time. I'm sorry, on the hiring of the ED. Now, honest to God, I don't know whether this is PMB or IED, but I'm just going to share it with you. There is a personnel committee which is currently collecting applications for the ED position. If any of you know anyone who should apply, tell them to look at the Pacifica website and send in an application. We want as many qualified candidates as possible. The closing date on that job is September 29th, and after that, I assume the personnel committee will advise us on how they plan to go forward. I got nothing else to say. I'll take questions. Other people.
Brian. Please leave my microphone on, okay? Thank you. I don't care. I want my microphone left on. I want to know if either Janet or Brian want to add things. Brian.
So I'm chairing the Finance Committee. I think last month I kind of reported on the state of disarray that Pacifica's books were in, and thanks to the work that Margie described, we have a better handle on kind of the state of Pacifica's finances right now. The very short version is that in this moment, the network as a whole appears to be operating basically on a break-even position. Doesn't mean every station is breaking even, but the network as a whole. There are some further savings on the horizon. Our New York station is in negotiations on a transmitter deal that could save it several hundred thousand dollars a year. And if we are able to reinstate our CPB funding, which will not happen quickly, is the bottom line that we've gotten from our CPB attorney, then the network will be operating positively. We'll be generating a surplus. The main problem that we're facing is kind of the overhang of old bills, which is what Margie's having to deal with. We have three vendors who've taken us to court, one of whom had already secured a default judgment against Pacifica by the time we got control of the national office back. That means the next step for him was basically seizing assets, asking the court to seize assets on his behalf. We had this huge unpaid tax bill from the severance paid to WBAI employees. Those taxes to be in compliance with the law would have had to be deposited on March 15th of this year. And then we have this unfunded pension. I think the good news, to the extent that there is good news, is that there's probably not too many more large surprises.
We're looking for it.
The bad news is we have a stack of unpaid bills, some of which under contracts that assess interest when we're late, and we don't have the means with which to pay them. So we have more income, we have more savings on the horizon. We don't necessarily have the means to get to that horizon yet. So there's been progress on a couple points on this regard. With the person who had obtained a default judgment against us, as a former corporate counsel, Andy Gold, Margie was able to negotiate a payment plan that spreads it out over 21 months and is interest-free. And in fact, the interest that had already accumulated on his unpaid bills, he agreed to waive if we're able to stick to the payment plan. It'll be manageable. And one of our board members in Los Angeles talked to a major donor and longtime supporter of Pacifica and got him to loan Pacifica at 0% with no collateral the money we need to pay that tax bill. So that's what we approved at our last board meeting. So we're still basically looking down the barrel of two other lawsuits, at least a couple $100,000 in unfunded pension liabilities. Like Margie said, we'll get the hard numbers for 2013 and 2014 sometime soon, but it's running about $90,000 a year. And that's where things are at. So if anybody knows anybody who can cut a $100,000 check as a donation or a loan, that would be a great time to talk to them.
Don wants to cut a check. Janet.
So I want to add a couple of things. I'm on both the election committee and the personnel committee. Both of them are dealing with timelines. I'll do the personnel committee first. So the personnel committee is focusing on a permanent ED, executive director hire. And there's a whole process, you know, so you have to advertise. Margie talked a little bit about that, and then you get applications, you process, you know, interview, etc. I mean, they're all different phases, and then the whole PNB would need to get involved in that, and that all takes time and noticing and etc. Last I recall, the hope is that the final interviews would be during the November in-person meeting, which that's another question, right? But in any case, so timeline, that's one issue for the personnel committee. The second for the election committee has been working very hard for months and months on a timeline as well for an election for this year, which was delayed from last year, which if it does take place this year, which seems pretty unlikely given what the timeline requires, and that's in the bylaws. I mean, it's sort of fixed. So how would that be done? And then also paying for it is another issue. But Margie, as IED, yes, so as chair, I can't remember, that the motion that was passed by the PNB also has her putting together a timeline to have the election done in time to have new members seated in December of this year. So anyway, I'm just putting that out there. These are issues that are being struggled with, and what would be the alternative if it doesn't happen that way? That's another question that we have to look at. And then I have a question for Brian. So I think most of what you were reporting on had to do with the national office, the any kind of lawsuits and debts and whatever. And so I'm wondering whether, and there's not enough money to pay XYZ. So that's national office. Might it be possible that different stations might be dinged or requested to offer additional money to the national office in order to pay some of that?
Oh, my God.
Theoretically, yes. There's no extra money at any of the stations. We are the best off of the five stations, and it will be a squeaker making payroll before our fall fund drive starts. We've already advanced Pacific a considerable amount of money. I'm afraid that well is tapped. One other thing I did want to mention, Raul Salvador and Margie have both been working diligently on kind of lowering the national office's operating costs, like taking down all the bills they can and reevaluating the staffing structure. Since there was a lot of turnover, there's a chance to not fill positions. And on that basis, we think we're going to be able to lower the portion of central services that goes to the national office from 17% to 15%, which will be a little bit of a savings to the stations. But no, like all the pension stuff, the vast majority of that pension money is owed by the stations and the archives. It's owed by everybody who has staff. And they just got hit by this week, that they have to make these catch-up payments that they didn't know about and weren't planning on. So, I mean, not only do they not have, like, cash in hand, they just found out they got to spend money they didn't know about. So.
And then Don is next.
So all these committee meetings are also streamed, and so Margie was saying, listen to PNB meetings. Well, you can also listen to these committee meetings. If you go to kpftx.org, there's a link on the right to the calendar of meetings. Go there and reserve time.
And have a ball. Okay. Don. And I don't know if there's anybody else who wants to ask questions.
I have two issues. One is a question. Does the PNB, is it functional or is it still mostly dysfunctional? That's a generic question. In terms of the deficits that exist within the network, I'm specifically thinking about the pensions owed staff, and I'm wondering whether you couldn't set up a special one day or across the network where every station says, fund our workers' pensions, you know, and spend a day doing that, and have it be across the network on the same day so you're all on the same page. Other suggestions I'll make offline.
If you want to assess the level of functionality of the board, you check out the archives of our meetings. On the National Day of Fundraising, give us money because we haven't been paying our pensions is kind of a tough sell when it comes to fundraising messages. There are only very limited circumstances where national fundraisers raise more than the stations do fundraising by themselves. So when we had a national day of fundraising in the wake of Superstorm Sandy, we had a very clear and coherent message. You know, we have this radio station through no fault of its own. It was taken off the air in the middle of a fund drive and made homeless by this disaster that befell New York, which of course was in every media that every one of our listeners was seeing anywhere. And that raised a lot of money. Our archives day of fundraising, if you look at the amount of money they collect from each station, it's less than those stations tend to raise on their own. And the reason is really simple. If you synchronize all programming across the network for a day of fundraising, then most people are not going to be getting the program they normally tune in for at the time they tune in for it, right? So the question is, since it's all drawing from the same well, it's drawing from our listeners, why wouldn't we fundraise in the way that we are more efficient at fundraising and minimize the amount of time we spend on the air? I don't think a national synchronized day of fundraising to pay our unpaid pension bill makes sense. I mean, if anything, it would just be a question of asking the stations to extend the fund drives they already have planned. Unfortunately, I think we're all pretty much already extending our fund drives into unsustainable territory.
Okay. I'm going to call on myself, and Ramses is going to take over the chair for a second. Yeah, you know. Imagine, okay? It's just going to take a second. We'll just, like, suspend disbelief. I want to suggest that you come from a different generation than I do, and I think worker stuff, labor stuff, and pension stuff might work if the programs that already exist, and it's done on a day, you know, where those programs do some worker-oriented, kind of labor-oriented interviews and don't change who the hosts are and so on, but everybody talks about funding the pensions. It's just to think about. Craig. And Ramses is giving me back the chair.
So the two items here are just, I mean, it's a bad report overall, but these two items are just really shocking. That, I mean, they haven't been paying pensions, which are required by law and by contract for 2 years, they haven't been paying them for 3 years, and they didn't pay the payroll taxes, which the federal government requires, when they paid the severance for BAI employees. And I'm assuming they just didn't pay them. I'm assuming that they didn't redirect that money into some other account, but I'm assuming, you know, that at least they didn't pay it, and there's, you know. Yeah, right. Anyway, my question is, like, this is really shocking. I mean, this is terrible management. And I want to know what kind of controls there are in place to ensure this doesn't happen again. This should have been, I would assume, detected in the audits we've had in recent years. And well, is it just that we haven't had the audits, or because, I mean, we've had audits since at least 2012, right? Why didn't they pick this stuff up? I mean, we can't let this happen again.
Frank?
I don't mind. Okay. So I want to say that there is a separate audit for the pension plan. And so Raul and I had exactly the same question. So we looked at the audit. Here's the problem. The pension plan does not require an employee contribution. And it doesn't actually require that we contribute. There are no required contributions to the pension plan, except that we have created a situation in which we now have required, whatever you call it, you know, because we have said that we will put money in for some people, we have to put money in for all people, essentially. Okay. The people who reviewed the pension plan did an audit, said everything was in order, except they noted in one sentence, which is sort of lost in this great big paragraph, that no contributions were made for 2012. They didn't highlight it, they didn't write us a letter, they didn't bring us to our attention. It's just in the report. And that's the situation. So we're meeting with them. We actually have a meeting set up with the auditors because they want us to pay them another $7,500 for their, we've already paid them. We paid them $7,500 to start the report. They want us to pay the balance, which is another, you know, the total bill was $15,000. And we said, we're not going to pay this until we talk to you about how this works and what, you know, so that, so we have a meeting set up to talk to them.
Brian and then Craig.
So, you know, audits don't tell you whether you're running things well or poorly. They tell you whether the financial statements you have are accurate. I mean, that's what the auditor is basically, their job is to tell you the books you're getting from your staff, to the best of our ability, are an accurate reflection of the financial condition of the organization. Draw what conclusions you will. And they also come in on a lag. So the most recent audit we have is from the fiscal year that ended on September 30th of 2012. So the skip tax payments, they won't show up until we audit fiscal year 2014's books, which will be sometime in 2015. Sometime in 2015. What wasn't happening over the past year and a half was regular publication of financial statements that in an organization of Pacifica's size should be distributed monthly. Profit and loss statements and balance sheets. And probably statements of cash flows as well. You know, I don't know what to tell you. For most of that time, we were operating without a CFO in place. That would be the person where the buck stops on producing those reports. Now we do have one in place. Seems to be pretty good at his job. We've produced those reports and now need to start producing them regularly. So it should be a great big red flag when those reports stop coming out, because there's room for a lot of monkey business when the transparency goes away.
I think it was Janet. And then Craig, were you next?
Yeah, but besides verifying that what the financial statements say and what is actually the case, the auditors do recommend or look at process and controls. So what you're asking, Craig, I think falls into that category, how it can be prevented in the future.
Okay, I'm going to... The next person on the list is Rich. And then David, and I'm calling on them first because Craig has already spoken. And then you're on the list.
I just want to say that I am opposed to the idea of doing a national day of fundraising for the pension, because that basically would be for KFCF be doing a fundraising for an outside organization, and we're prohibited by the FCC from doing that, and we end up having to preempt that entire day of programming, such as is happening with the archive days, because the FCC says you cannot fundraise for another nonprofit on the air if you preempt your regular programming and do excessive amount of pitching.
There you go.
Okay. If you were to do 1 minute an hour, that would probably be acceptable for pitching, which they originally did at the very beginning of the archives, the first time they did it. And that was acceptable because it was like underwriting then at that point. But once you start doing extensive pitching, it's a no-go for us. So it's a real pain for us. That's all I had to say.
Okay. David, Frank.
I suggest we move the agenda.
Thank you. Okay. All those in favor of moving the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. CAB, Carol, you're up. Carol.
Good afternoon. So the CAB is continuing to meet on the third Sunday of the month, and we're meeting now mostly at the Grassroots House and other community settings so that the public can come and people are invited to come. And we also hope to continue our work with the station about having a presence at First Fridays. One of the biggest things I want to talk about today is the live streaming and how much we appreciated what the station did to organize with, you know, many other organizations were present in that. And for the Community Advisory Board, that's really important that we have connection with local community organizations and because it helps to build the relationship with the station. And so it was important that we were able to provide interviews with people and to get their input about how the events were for them. And we'd like to continue to have that with movements on political, environmental, and economic issues with live streaming. Our recommendation is based on the feedback that we received about the broadcast during the Block the Boat actions. And listeners look to KPFA for honest journalism about local events, not just national events. And like the woman said this morning, how people here are organizing about national issues. And I know that I personally get so many emails about different actions that are going on in the community and just wanting for there to be a space with KPFA to cover those kinds of things. I was very encouraged today to hear that live streaming is part of the plan, and I think Quincy mentioned 24 hours, that it's part of the plan for the new website, and I think that's really important. And I know that community members would be interested in having input about the website and the way that the branding is done for the website so that it includes the community and it includes free speech and includes local community programming. I know that there's a lot of actions coming up. I think there were notices today about the climate change action next Sunday. I know there's a third annual convergence in San Francisco of the Occupy movement. I know we had the Urban Shield, and I know that Hard Knocks Radio covered a lot of that Urban Shield protest. And so I think it's important for us to be sensitive to what possibilities we have, and we have that great resource on the internet, and I know the internet itself is at risk. Chris Welch interviewed someone this morning about the internet being at risk. So I just want to encourage us to use that wonderful resource on behalf of the community. Thanks. Any questions?
Thank you.
When are we meeting again? We meet every third Sunday, and we'll be meeting at the Grassroots House from 11 to 1. And I think it's I'd have to look, maybe the 21st.
Where is the Grassroots House?
2022 Blake.
No,
is that right?
2221.
Yeah, it's above Mibley, 2022. Okay.
2022 what?
Blake. Thank you. Anything in Berkeley?
Berkeley.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The KFCF report. Rich.
Thank you. I'm going to keep it pretty short. We had a successful New Stringer Fund fundraiser in May for KFCF, which is what we used to fund Vic Bedoyan doing reports for the Pacifica Evening News. We raised $8,800 this year for that and the our regular appeal. So a total for the year of $8,800, I think about half for our regular email and letter appeal, and then about half from our fundraiser.
Right.
And then our annual banquet is scheduled for December 7th. We're going to have Laurie Lewis speaking, and she'll be talking about activism as a musician. And we'll have our annual free speech award. That's going to be December 7th. So that'll be coming up. And that's it. And I would move to adjourn after that, unless there's some other stuff.
Oh, no. Oh. Nice try.
I have new business. I have the motion.
Relax. Oh, okay. Everybody relax, okay? Just relax.
I have a question.
Okay. Barbara.
How is Smedley doing?
I'm working on that.
Is that
that's
an
a project
insider?
I'm working on. I'm working on doing a one-man show as Smedley Butler. I'm writing it still.
Wow. Margie.
When is the Laurie?
December 7th.
December 7th. I might actually make it down this year.
Okay, any more questions? No. Okay. We have no old business. We have new business. I think Janet had a motion that was came from an earlier point in the agenda.
Thank you. This probably shouldn't take long either. Based on all the remarks and input about live streaming, here's my motion. The LSB encourages efforts to prioritize creating a live streaming capability for the KPFA website, including archiving of live streaming, which actually is going to happen, apparently. Local events could be streamed real-time and or filmed by one of several KPFA workers and volunteers currently experienced in this area, and apprentices are especially encouraged to be trained to create and post live stream video footage.
Okay, I think we may be getting into managing here. And I think also that there's a commitment, and one of the things that Quincy has talked about the most is live streaming, but that's an observation. Craig and then Brian. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, well, maybe I'm a little confused here, but perhaps somebody could clarify what they mean by live streaming. You get live streaming on the web right now. You can click on Listen Live, and we get KPFA Live. And our programs are archived. So we already get live streaming. If it's video we're talking about, then let's clarify things so that's clearer. I mean, and if that's the case, if we're talking about a video presence, I guess I would request that we table this for a future meeting, because I mean, that opens up another whole proposal, discussion, et cetera, which may or may not be included in the new web plans. But I mean, let's be clear: we get live streaming right now. We don't get video. We get live audio streaming.
Can I just,
Brian and then Janet? Why don't you hear all the questions? Brian, the thing, and Mark. So Brian, Mark, Janet. You want to go before or after Janet?
I'll move to postpone this a month, and if there's a second, I will explain why.
Second. Okay, that's a substitute motion. Go ahead.
No, it's a motion to postpone.
It's a motion
to postpone.
A subsidiary motion.
If you had the time to type this out ahead of time, you had the time to send it to the board so we could see it and think about it before the meeting. And look, we've done live streaming through our website. It's not a question of the website's capabilities. It's a question of production resources. And frankly, there's several occasions where we have paid people to live stream things to our website. We've paid someone up to $300.
He gets to explain.
And rarely surpassed the single digits in terms of number of people who were tuned into the live stream. So I would like us to have this discussion when our manager's present, and if it's a question of allocating resources, have it when we're talking about what we'd be taking resources away from in order to put them into it.
Okay, so this is a motion to table. That's what's on
to
the...
To postpone.
Which is debatable.
Which is... Janet.
I'm very happy to postpone, and the motion should have been more carefully thought through and written, including video. That's what I was meaning to include.
Okay.
And also
well, anyway.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the maker of the motion is agreeing to postpone, and so let's all affirm that that's what we're doing. What?
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection? Seeing none, this is postponed. We have one more item that I'm aware of, which is Paula. Go ahead, Paula. Why don't you motivate your item?
Oh, okay. New business. So some of us in the room just formed an annual KPFA family picnic committee, and that will be Wolfley and Horsley and me and Cynthia and Lewis and anybody else. I don't know, Joy, you're on the outreach if you want to. And apparently outreach is meeting with Q on 2 o'clock on Monday. Is that right? Yeah. And they can mention that there. And then we all decided here that we would meet before the next KPFA LSB meeting at 9:30 at the station, our preliminary meeting to start getting this going. And anybody else who, so that'd be 9:30 at the station on October 18th, Saturday. And if anybody has any ideas, or maybe they can't be on the committee but they have ideas, just email me at paulaurkola@hotmail.com or Carol or Horsley.
Kathy
Horsley. So we're going to get started. Okay. Any questions?
Margie?
Well, I think, I don't know if we need to do this. I was going to say, I was thinking that the LSB should approve the establishment of this committee, but maybe we'll just let it be an
relax.
Ad hoc committee. And
relax.
What?
Relax.
Don't call
just
it a
relax,
committee.
Relax, okay? Relax.
Call it a task force.
Brian, are you going to say adjourn?
Yes. No. If you get a group of people to do some work, great. If you call it a committee, then it is subject to the notice requirements under the Federal Communications Act that are currently preventing us from getting $1 million a year in CPB funding. So lest you make your jobs much harder and have to put 7-day notices up on websites with full details of the meetings, just get together and do the work and don't call it a committee.
Call it an
annual KPFA family picnic.
Task force. Collective.
Collective. All right.
Okay. Cool. I'm done.
And, well, isn't that fabulous? Well, if you're done, we're done. I believe we have reached the time. We've come to the conclusion of our business, and the chair is entertaining a motion to adjourn.
So moved
and seconded. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
In record time.
Thank you, Mark.